When we choose cases for Snapped, one of the questions we ask is whether the story is relatable. Could you, the viewer, identify with the woman profiled, with the victim, with their families? I'm Sharon Martin, the narrator and producer of Snapped, and Ghazal Mansouri is one case where I think the answer is a resounding yes.
This can happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Homaira Rasool is one of the family members living with the aftermath of her aunt's death and her cousin's conviction.
The tragedy is many layered. So it's not just one tragedy. First of all, it's a tragedy that my aunt is dead. Other tragedy is that she got killed. The other tragedy is that her daughter killed her. The other tragedy is we still don't know how this could have happened.
It's a question so many family members ask themselves. How could this have happened? Were there warning signs? What could we have done? But in Ghazal's case, the answers are complicated.
On one hand, we are flabbergasted. We are broken forever. The whole family dynamic has changed forever. On the other hand, personally, I knew it was coming. It's like death. You know it's coming, but you don't know when. You don't know how you're gonna die. That's exactly how it was.
On September 25th, 2013, a worried family member called to file a missing persons report on Maria Mansouri. No one in the tight-knit Afghan family had been able to reach the 79-year-old for nearly 2 days.
When they couldn't get a hold of her by going to the house or talking to her on the cell phone, they asked her daughter, who also lived at the home, where she might be. The answers that the daughter gave Ghazal, ultimately the suspect arrested in this case, didn't set right with the family.
Detective Tracy Guadarrama was working homicide, and so far there was no indication that Maria was dead. But something about the missing persons report set off red flags at the police department.
Another detective in that particular unit recognized the family name, and she had some history with the family, some intimate knowledge of violence within the family. She became concerned when she saw the elderly female had been missing.
The detectives and the family all suspected Maria's daughter, Ghazal, wasn't telling them everything. When her cousin Homaira asked, she only got strange and conflicting answers from Ghazal.
I just asked her, I said, Ghazal, what's going on? And then she started on this lecture. She said, well, you know, Mom, I think my mom is in hiding. Hiding from who? Oh, she likes to play this little game to hurt me. It's an emotional abuse, Mama. She goes and hides, and then she knows that I will be afraid and I will be looking for her. I said, Ghazal, I said, shut up. Please shut up. She doesn't do that. She goes, well, I didn't say it was that. I'm saying one scenario. The next, I said, okay, do you have more? She goes, yeah. The next one is that she has the dementia. Oh, really? Yes, Mama. Lately, she's become very sick. She has been lost many, many times.
But Homaira knew something was wrong. She knew because she had spent most of her life with Maria and Ghazal. In fact, she remembers the day her aunt brought Ghazal home to Afghanistan from an orphanage in Turkey.
It was a blessed day. It was a happy day. All the members of the family were at the airport. I remember when my aunt was walking down the steps, the flights from the plane, and she was carrying this beautiful navy blue silk bassinet. And we couldn't wait to see what was inside the bassinet. And as you may see in one of the pictures, she was one of the most beautiful, cheerful, happy girl, baby girl that one could hope for. Personally, I was maybe around 17, 18, and somehow, until today, I don't know what exactly happened, but I, in my mind, adopted Ghazal for me, for as a daughter. And until the time that she did what she did to her mother, my aunt, I've always considered her as my child.
And this is interesting to me. So many times the women we profile have terrible childhoods filled with stories of abuse and neglect. But Ghazal was a child who was adopted and loved by a wealthy family in Afghanistan. They moved to San Diego, where the extended family remained close. And by all accounts, Ghazal had everything she ever wanted.
I was the aunt, the friend, or the sister for Ghazal. So we even slept in the same room. And she was under my wing, per se, because my aunt wanted me to groom her in the best of ways, make sure that because Ghazal didn't have any siblings, that I was that grown-up who was also a friend. So Ghazal became more and more like my daughter.
So for just a moment, let's go back to the question of, are the people in this case relatable? For me personally, the answer is yes. Whenever I read a script and I get to the line, born in 1971, I do the math. Is she older than me, younger, the same age as my mom, my sister? And Ghazal is nearly the same age as me, a little older, but close. But there is something else that struck a chord with me in this story.
The upbringing, our way of life, is the same as any family in the world who value etiquettes, which is, I would say, common in any culture, that there are certain ways that you have to behave, certain ways that you carry yourself. There are boundaries that you should not cross.
Ghazal's mother is from Afghanistan, and after they moved to the U.S., it's clear that Ghazal felt caught in a tug-of-war between being an American teenager and obeying her mother and her culture.
She was a wild child. That's what I used to call her. But it wasn't cute anymore because she would do and say things that were unbecoming to a girl or a child from a good family, using foul language, which is not acceptable in any culture.
My mother isn't Middle Eastern, she's Asian. But when Omaira talks about her aunt and her family, it sounded very familiar to me. That sense that your mother has very specific expectations and the pressure to be an exemplary daughter, I think can be very strong with immigrant mothers. And then there was this about Maria from Detective Guadarrama and Omaira.
According to the family, the home was kept immaculate. Mary was very particular about her belongings and everything being in their place.
Her house was a jewel, and how it was upkept with this rose garden and its hacienda style and garden with little statues and sculptures and all those things.
All of that reminds me of my mother as well, but it was the rose gardening that struck me. My mother's a gardener too. So while Ghazal's age and upbringing seemed relatable to me, it was her mother, more than Ghazal, who felt familiar to me as we worked on this episode, which makes what happened to Maria seem even more tragic.
She was a beautiful woman, small, petite, took care of herself, still had her car. Again, was very connected with her siblings and her nieces and nephews. We really got the impression that this extended family really took care of each other, they watched out for each other, and they had daily communication.
And now Maria was missing. Ghazal claimed her mother had dementia and had gone for a walk, but Detective Guadarrama doubted that.
It was odd. It was odd that this 79-year-old female would leave her home and not return for not just hours, but days. And her car keys, her wallet, her purse, her belongings, her car were all still at the home. It was very unusual.
After all, police had been to the home on a previous occasion, and Ghazal didn't try to hide her troubled relationship with her mother.
She was very open and forthcoming with that detective as to the relationship between her and her mother. She made no bones about that they didn't have the best of relationships, but that she loved her mother.
Ghazal admitted she frequently fought with her mother, though her cousin says it went beyond just arguing.
I had seen her snatch the car keys literally from my aunt's closed fist. And my aunt was a very fragile, petite little woman physically. And I would see some bruises. I've seen her grab the phone from my aunt's hand, and she would leave her marks. But my aunt wouldn't ever call police or authorities on her. Like I said, she loved that child. She left.
So what happened to turn this beloved daughter against her mother? Her cousin says once Ghazal became a teenager, things only got worse.
Ghazal was getting more and more and more involved in drugs, in stealing, in having rap sheets with the police. She wasn't going anywhere positive. I could see from bad going to worse in different aspects. And my aunt was having a very hard time with her.
And by all accounts, Maria and her family tried to help her daughter, even as Ghazal slid deeper into addiction and became a stripper to support her habit.
I have gone 2 times in the middle of the night with my aunt and found Ghazal dancing bare-chested, high on whatever she was high on. And we sat there, we talked, we tried to coax her to come back so we could put her in rehab, and the nightmare continued. She wouldn't come. She was of age. We couldn't. The police told us we couldn't. They said you can take the horse to water, but you cannot put water in horse's mouth, meaning you can provide anything you want. If she doesn't want to, she's of age. She doesn't have to.
And Ghazal clearly didn't want to. Eventually, though, she moved back home. She lived with her mother despite the constant arguments, according to Detective Guadarrama.
They would argue over her drug use, they would argue over money, they would argue over her wanting to use the car, they would argue over her bringing people to the home, and really just mom, Mary, wanting better for her daughter.
As a mother, these cases always hit close to home for me. I remember the teenage arguments with my mother, and I know that I'll have some with my daughter soon. So I also wonder, when does the typical mother-daughter friction become so toxic that it leads to murder? It seems completely reasonable to want your daughter to have a better life, to take care of herself, to stop using drugs in Ghazal's case. But according to Homaira, Ghazal was fed up.
Ghazal just flipped, and she said that you bitch bother me too much, and just walked away. And that, of course, everybody didn't know what to do, what to say. And my aunt's eyes started to brim with tears, but then we all tried to make her feel okay. So that was the beginning of this nightmare.
But where would it end? Even as the detective searched the house, she found evidence that Maria hadn't given up on her daughter.
I located in a spare bedroom a letter written from Mary to Ghazal, really encouraging her to better herself, that she had more potential than what she was using and seeing out of her daughter. It was an encouraging letter, but also you could tell that mom was getting just exasperated with watching her waste her life.
But the detective also found much more troubling things in the house.
We discovered red spots on the wall, on a chair that we believe Mary probably spent most of her time in, and on envelopes and mail that were scattered around that area, which were tested, and it was a positive test for blood.
And Maria's once immaculate house was filthy, with one exception.
The bathroom really stood out as, okay, something happened where the bathroom is very clean. It's the only house, and I mean the only house or room in the house that's clean.
And for the detectives, it only confirmed their suspicions that the 79-year-old woman had not simply gone on a walk and never returned.
To us, combining the area where Mary sat with testing positive for blood, the bathroom being very clean and smelling of bleach, and 3 foot impressions being observed in the hallway, to us, combining that as a whole gave the appearance of there was some sort of bloodletting event, and there was some sort of a cleanup, and there was some sort of disposal of Mary's body.
But Ghazal wasn't talking, and there was no body, just a few blood spatters and a lot of suspicion, even from those who loved Ghazal most.
I told the detective at the time, I said, she's not missing, she's been killed. And he goes, how do you know? I said, I don't know, but it's my gut feeling. And our family people don't go missing.
There were organized searches for Maria, and detectives kept investigating. But it was a random 911 call that finally broke the case 8 days later.
That domestic violence call includes a couple arguing over an ex-wife. So an ex-wife had called her ex-husband and had disclosed that she is friends with Ghazal and had spent some time with Ghazal riding around in Mary's car.
But it was what the ex-wife claimed Ghazal told her next that got the detective's attention.
In the middle of riding around and spending time together, Ghazal discloses to this female that she got into an argument with her mother. She went into the garage and got a bike tire and she strangled her mother. Ghazal went on to describe that she saw blood coming from her mother's nose and her mother's ears. And afterwards, Ghazal went and got a blood pressure cuff to determine that her mother was in fact deceased.
The search of Ghazal's house had uncovered dozens of bike inner tubes and even one in the trunk of Maria's car. And the informant claimed that Ghazal had dumped her mother's body in East County. And hours later, when police shifted the focus of the search party to that area, they found something.
What we believed was a female body was located in East County. On the female, there was some jewelry that later, in another interview with a homicide detective, Ghazal indicated that her mother never took off. There was a watch and her wedding ring. And the skeleton that we found in East County, or the decomposed body, included items of jewelry similar to what Ghazal had described.
DNA confirmed that Maria's body had been found, and just 9 days after her disappearance, her daughter was arrested and charged with her murder. For Homaira, that official confirmation was hard to take.
The emotions, I went through the whole gamut between I know it, I knew it, I knew it was happening, to how could this happen? Being confused, being very sad, being extremely hurt, between all the negative feelings, between angry, between feeling guilt, why didn't I do more? I should have done more, I could have done more. And then knowing deep down that I couldn't do much.
At her trial in January of 2015, the prosecutor's theory was that Ghazal had been abusing her mother, and with a doctor's appointment looming, feared she would be discovered and arrested. As Detective Guadarrama explains, exactly how Ghazal killed Maria wasn't clear.
There's several different scenarios that you could discuss that would fit this case. One that I personally feel happened was that Ghazal approached her mother while her mother was sitting in her chair, and that there was some sort of an altercation and there was some sort of a bloodletting event. I don't necessarily know if Mary was moved to the bathroom for cleanup or it was really Ghazal herself that went into cleanup. That's more my opinion, is that something happened around that chair that was significant.
And then there was the alternate theory raised by the woman who claimed Ghazal confessed to her in the car that day, that Ghazal strangled her mother with a bicycle inner tube. It was that uncertainty about how Maria died that Ghazal's defense attorney, Mehrdad Gasemkhani, focused on.
The problem that I had with this case was the fact that the medical examiner can never determine what the actual manner of death was. Now, she couldn't determine a cause of death. And if you can't determine a cause of death, then how could you determine a manner of death, you know, being homicide? She couldn't determine the cause of death was, you know, blunt force trauma. She couldn't determine the cause of death was death by strangulation.
Since her arrest, Ghazal had denied any knowledge of her mother's death. But to everyone's surprise, at trial, Ghazal's defense admitted she was involved. However, her attorney described it as a tragic accident.
Basically, that morning, she walks to the bathroom and she opens the door and her mother is on the other side of the door and the door hits her mother and she falls down to the ground. She then picks her mother up and her mother tells her everything's okay, you can go to work. So she goes into the garage. She does some methamphetamine, goes to work, comes back around noon, goes into the bathroom and notices that her mom was on the ground and her mother was dead.
Her attorney admits that in her meth-induced state, Ghazal panicked and dumped her mother's body. But since she didn't intend to kill her mother, he argued she wasn't guilty of murder. It was an argument the jury ultimately did not agree with.
Despite the fact that there's no cause of death, despite all of that, it's one of those cases where a jury just didn't like her. And they didn't like her because of how she acted after the report of her mother disappearance. The fact that she didn't act like a daughter should have acted when the mother had been disappeared, she didn't act like, you know, a daughter would. So therefore, based on that, that's why she was convicted.
Ghazal's sentence was 25 years to life, meaning she's eligible for parole in 2038. But her cousin Omira hopes the family doesn't have to endure a parole hearing. And she's torn on what she would say to Ghazal if she went to see her in prison.
If I had her in a room, I don't know what I would do to her. Shake her more than anything, like, what the hell were you thinking? You're supposedly a human being, regardless of your name being Ghazal or Joe Blow. How could you kill another human being? For what? For drug money? For a car? What was the urgency? Tell me. Get it done and over with. Let me close the book in my head.
And that need for closure, for some explanation, is something we hear so often from family members. And more often than not, there is no good answer. There are just the complicated emotions of knowing someone you loved is capable of murder.
I feel sorry for Ghazal in a way. What a waste. When I think of Ghazal, now her name synonymous, not only anger, but waste. It's just a waste. She could have been anything she wanted. Unfortunately, she chose the wrong path. It's just a heartache. It's a gap in our lives, big time. We got Ghazal with high hopes. Now we have to let her go, you know, with the utmost sorrow in our hearts. Because even being angry doesn't help.
And here's another aspect of this case that seems relatable. While Ghazal went to a deadly extreme, nearly everyone knows the feeling of watching someone make poor choices and learning when to let them go. This podcast was produced by Sharon Martin, Deborah Allen, Ashley Overton, and the Snapped production team. Edited and mixed by Cody Alford, and produced for Oxygen by Jupiter Entertainment.